Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, compared to last year, the USDA doubled the number of acres in the CRP grassland sign-up period by enrolling 2.5 million acres. Gloria Montaño-Green, USDA Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, says the grassland acres helped the total CRP sign-up to bypass 5 million acres.
We did a huge announcement today announcing more than 2.5 million acres of Grasslands Conservation Reserve program, really targeted to preserve and to be able to add support for conservation programs, bringing the total CRP sign up to more than 5.3 million acres in 2021. So we did a lot of work to be able to incentivize and to increase the enrollment, to be able to share the value it has to producers and the value it has for climate change mitigation. The announcement today really shows the fruits of that labor and how we're able to increase the sign up.
USDA's goal for total sign-up was 4 million acres. She talks about reasons for the increased interest in the Conservation Reserve program.
I attribute it to a few things. I think it's the incentives that were offered to be able to restructure, the education and outreach that was done to understand the value it has, to be able to show that this is something that is good for agriculture as well as good for conservation. And so it was really robust education and outreach and targeting in really key communities, and then also just the incentives that we provided.
Montaño-Green says setting aside acres is very good for the environment.
To be able to help the grassland area, we'll be sequestering an incredible amount of carbon. We'll also be thinking about what we're doing for wildlife habitat and grazing opportunities to be able to move forward. We had a significant amount of acres that were enrolled in the Dust Bowl corridor, right, in the Yellowstone Elk Migratory Corridor. So I think when you're looking at environmental and conservation benefits, to be thinking about both wildlife and carbon.
USDA did receive expanded signups from new locations, but the bulk of the expansion came from areas that traditionally do well in CRP.
We did have a significant increase, at least specifically in the targeted areas that we were moving forward for the ecosystem. But we also had some expansions I don't think I shared with you, but I'm an Arizonan. I'll be making my way to D.C. eventually. But for example, Arizona had an increase of it. So I think we also did see an increase in spread of other states that were enrolling. But we also saw some traditional strength and growth in the states where we've always had a great CRP enrollment, like in Colorado, South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, and New Mexico.
Again, Gloria Montaño-Green is the Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation with USDA. A Soy Checkoff-funded study finds soybean meal increases weight gain and feed efficiency in pigs. Dean Boyd, supporting investigator in the study, is a consulting animal nutritionist and adjunct professor of animal nutrition at North Carolina State University and Iowa State University. Boyd says that despite these benefits, the feed market has changed.
Corn, distillers, dried grains with solubles has skyrocketed in the diet. They've gone from almost zero to very high levels. The second change that happened was that synthetic amino acid library has tripled from 2 amino acids to 6. And the outcome of that was that soybean content in diets has plummeted.
The study found that as soybean meal use declined, so did the rate of gain.
The North Carolina research, I think, is milestone, was led by Ms. Brooke Anderson. And what she learned was that soybean plummeting in our diets was not without significant consequences. As it grows down in a stepwise fashion, so does growth. And how she constructed her study was to basically reconstruct the diet changes that have happened over the last 20 years. And it simply showed that as you displace soybean in a stepwise fashion, the growth got worse in a stepwise fashion, as did feed conversion.
Soybean meal inclusion levels in pig diets have become heavily dependent on pricing. Dean notes that a corn-soy diet is the most cost-effective for summer weight gain. When it comes to soybean meal, this vital component also improves immune responses, provides anti-inflammatory benefits, and enhances growth performance of pigs exposed to viral disease challenges.
The NC State study showed that because of feed conversion improving by 17 points, the cost of gain was similar to the diets whose invoice price was best. But the bottom line was that you got significantly more gain out of it. So at the end of the day, the most cost-effective diet you can have for summer markets is the corn-soy diet with synthetics.
Keep up with the latest news from the United Soybean Board and find the report online at unitedsoybean.org. Tune in Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on RFD TV for Soy Checkoff updates. Well, the cattle markets this week are closely eyeing the effects that a fire at a JBS plant will have on the market trade. A fire broke out at a JBS beef plant in Grand Island, Nebraska, overnight Sunday into Monday morning, and the 6,000-head capacity plant was not processing to begin the week. No known injuries were reported at the plant, but NTV News in Central Nebraska reported the fire began around 10 p.m. Sunday night. JBS reported the plant would be shut down, of course, on Monday, and reports from the scene largely cited that JBS's rendering operation had suffered damage, but no official details have been released at this time. Now, the plant can process 6,000 head a day and has roughly 3,000 employees. That puts capacity at the plant at roughly 5% of average U.S. daily fed cattle slaughter. The fire brought back reflections of the Tyson fire at Holcomb, Kansas, just over 2 years ago. The damage at that plant led to a sharp market reaction, causing fed cattle futures markets to drop sharply while box beef prices soared. The JBS plant also was among the JBS facilities that was idled in May for a short time when the plant was hit by a cyber attack. And definitely something we're going to be watching closely here just to see how the market continues to react this week to that fire. And we'll continue to get reports on the damage and the assessments on the damage and more at that JBS beef plant in Grand Island, Nebraska. Last week, the White House hosted a press conference featuring Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack and Brian Deese, the director of the National Economic Council, to discuss the meatpacking sector. Both Vilsack and Deese talked specifically about the impacts of a highly concentrated meatpacking sector for American producers and consumers. A White House release outlined how the big four meatpackers are generating record profits during COVID-19 and doing so at the expense of consumers, farmers, and ranchers. U.S. Cattlemen's Association President Brooke Miller says that the White House seeing the need for increased competition in the marketplace is a testament to the many agricultural producer and consumer voices who've been advocating for change. Miller says, quote, COVID highlighted what we already knew to be true. A lack of transparency and true price discovery hurts independent producers and processors and inflates beef prices at the retail counter, end quote. The USCA says this is an important first step towards addressing the problem of concentration in the meatpacking sector. Miller added, quote, we look forward to working with the USDA, including the new advisor for fair and competitive markets, to investigate illegal and anti-competitive practices in the cattle marketplace. And last week, a bipartisan group of four senators jointly announced the America Beef Labeling Act. The legislation would mandate the reinstatement of beef and beef products into the existing mandatory country of origin labeling law, allowing for a 12-month development and implementation grace period. Now, the current law, imported beef products can bear a product of the USA label once finished and repackaged domestically. The bill would require the Office of the Trade Representative in consultation with the Ag Secretary to develop a World Trade Organization compliant means of reinstating MCOOL for beef within 1 year of reinstatement. The legislation was introduced in the Senate by Republicans John Thune and Mike Rounds of South Dakota and Democrats Cory Booker of New Jersey and John Tester of Montana. This has been American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.